Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome
to
the podcast.
Hi, are you welcoming me? Yeah, no, welcome. Let's welcome you guys out there. Hi, guys out there.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Suzanne. Welcome to me. We are talking today. Here's our question today that we get so often. What if my child doesn't know God? Now, so many ramifications to that question. You know, we have to ask, you know, is the child two? Is
the actually like to push back and say your child does know God. You just don't know that your child knows God because they're fresh from heaven is what I say.
Well, maybe that's the 2-year-old. What about that 17-year-old that maybe doesn't know God or isn't following God? Maybe you have a 25-year-old. Sometimes we get parents come to us and go, wow, my 7-year-old's not loving Jesus. You know, I'm just really concerned that they haven't asked. But yet then I get somebody the other day said, my 3-year-old came to me and wanted to be baptized. What do I do with that? Because that's too young. And how do I handle that? You know, and I was like, well,
baptize him in the bathtub.
Exactly. And then, I mean, he spiritual experiences are good. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so many, many parameters of the question. But I think one of the things that we like to do with parents is kind of make this age appropriate, is to go down. What'd you call it?
Well, what I wanted to say before you tee that up for me is that in this podcast series, we're talking about relationships, and the specific line that we're talking about today is the relational line between God and your child, and the role that we have as parents to get to link our kids to God, to tie them in God, to God. And so many times as parents, we carry that burden and that responsibility that, oh my gosh, my kid doesn't know God and it's my fault. And I just want to just encourage you that, no, it's not your fault. Yes, you have a huge role in it. Yes, you get the first opportunity to influence your child to know God, to love God, to see God, to know about God, all of the things. But there is an element of faith that is woven in there, and there is their choice, their free will that's in there as well. And so hopefully with this podcast, we can kind of encourage you a little bit, as Don was saying, maybe with the different ages, to go look at a faith timeline with your kids a little bit, and then share with you what we've created, what Don brainstormed, God idea gave him on how to show your kids God in Crazy Cool Family. And then the last thing is, we were talking about the thing that you teed me up for to say, right?
Many minutes ago.
Is that one of the main things that I would encourage you as parents is when it comes to what if my child doesn't know God, or to flip it to a positive, how do I help my child to know God? One of the things that I would encourage you to do is to give them space to have a relationship, because we can teach them all day long about God, how to know about God, but what we want them to do is know God, and to know God is to have a relationship with God.
Well, and along with that space, I think one of the things we see a lot is, it's what I was alluding to, and is that parents think their child should know God at a deeper level before they're really ready to. And so that's what we talk about, is the faith timeline. And the exception is the guy that comes to me and says, my kid's 3 and he's talking about loving Jesus and wants to go on mission. You know, that does happen. But the normal, and I want to try to give you kind of a normal progression, and then let's talk about, you know, maybe some different exceptions to the rule. You were about to say
something. I was just going to say, and well done, parent, for presenting to your children a relationship with God that your child at 3-year-old wants to have.
And some kids, you know, really are attracted to spiritual things. But generally, the reason we bring this up is because often a kid has to own their own beliefs. Suzanne just said, create space in the relationship, for that child to have a relationship with you, and space to have a relationship with God. And so with that, often that doesn't happen. You know, man, middle schoolers, their brains are not quite there yet. I mean, let's just, they, so, you know, you're, in general, you have a toddler and then you have a grade schooler, and you think, wow, things are going pretty well here. Maybe they've got some issues, but they love me and everything's going. And all of a sudden they kind of get to be a middle schooler and you're like, who is this child? Because they're going back through, they're going through puberty. They're going back through toddlership in a way.
Well, there's just a deep maturing, a deep work that's going on in them physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it comes out as chaos. But there is a deep work, and that is the, if we were to put a dot on the timeline, somewhere in those middle school years, that's when our children walk away from the faith that we are, or choose not to choose the faith that we have because we have it, and they choose to own it for themselves. They choose to realize, oh, mom believes in this God. What God do I believe in? And they start asking questions.
They do, and it also leads to a lot of questions in parents' minds. Does my child really believe? Why isn't my child more mature? I mean, because they're punks in so many ways, and they just don't, they're very quirky, and, you know, the girls are, you know, acting certain ways, and the boys are acting certain ways, and they're really awkward with each other even, and everything else, as well as awkward around the parents, and it leads to a lot of questions. I think there's two things that happen. One of them is in grade school, like grade school, going back to that a little bit, many times the child is not ready to understand the concept of faith yet. So it's very concrete. They're still very much in the, you know, and maybe they're just interested in video games, or they're interested in whatever they're exploring at the time. And the parent is concerned about that. And then they get to middle school and there's like, so what we found is a lot of times that, you know, you're putting in concepts in grade school. You're establishing
for
concepts,
sure.
And you're also
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's why we teach it to our toddlers, that carry it all the way up. So I love that idea of concepts are being planted in that grade school.
And you're also building, you know, we talk so much about in the parent to kid relationship about building identity into children.
Right.
So you're building this, it's almost like in the grade school and even in the toddler stage, you're building foundation. They're reading Bible stories.
Yes.
You're looking, you're building this foundation. You're just telling them how awesome they are, that God loves them. But, you know, if they don't get it, and they don't seem to get it, so again, some kids will be very responsive. Most kids are like, oh, thanks, whatever, because they really don't understand the depth of what you're telling them yet.
Yeah.
So then you hit this middle school stage, and all of a sudden, like Suzanne was saying, now they start to grasp, the world is bigger than me. The world is bigger than my family. The world
is
bigger than everything. What am I doing? How do I fit in? What's going on? Who is God? And they naturally just go, maybe ask a lot of questions, or maybe act like they don't believe.
Yeah, I love that. There's like a crisis of belief in that middle school age, in that they don't know who they are. They don't, everything that they thought about their parents is turned upside down, and now their parents, we're not cool anymore in middle school.
And we're not nearly as smart.
And, oh no, yeah, we're dumb, and we're not, yeah. And then, which that therefore then points the arrow to, okay, who's God? What's God? I don't know if I love me. I don't think I love my parents. I'm pretty sure they don't love me because they're on me all the time. And who is this God, and does he love me? And did he, I mean, and it, so it'd be like, you, I just love that, to think about middle school as the season of questions, and they're questioning everything, not just their faith. They're questioning their identity. They're questioning their purpose in this world.
And so what happens is many parents freak out and clamp down, because it is usually a result of fear.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. What if my child doesn't know God? That's a fear. That's a potentially a fear question. I want the best for my child. I want them to know God. I want them. But now all of a sudden I'm scared they're not. And so what do? We react. Oh my goodness. You know, let me ground you because you don't do, you know, you're not doing this, or let me, you know, I'm going to lecture you about why. Well, instead, what Suzanne just said earlier was, what if you gave them space to have a relationship with God? What if that, if the questions are like, hey, this is good. The questions are good because now we're taking them from our faith to their faith.
Yeah.
And it's a natural progression that's messy.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that the good news is that if it's done well and you know, and if God's in it, which he is, then when they get to be late middle school and even going into high school, they will start to develop their own relationship with God, and they will start to value those things, and they will start to own their own beliefs. And that's the goal. The goal is to transfer your beliefs to their beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to go back and just speak into that fear a little bit, because if you're a parent that's sitting there in that, yeah, I have that fear. What do I do about it? I mean, where am I? I just want to validate that and say that's legit. Like, I mean, I don't know if I want to give you permission to be fearful, because perfect love casts out fear. So I don't want to necessarily say, yeah, go be fearful. But if you do have that fear, then I want to give you a direction to go with it. And so I feel like that God uses fear. The enemy uses fear to take us out, but God uses his fear to draw us to him. And so if you are fearful that your kids don't know God, or they're walking away from God, or they're questioning God, and you're not sure where it's going to land on the other side of all their questions, I just want to encourage you. One of the most practical things you can do is use fear as a red flag. Pray for my child. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their beliefs. Pray for their faith. Pray for their belief in who God is in their life. And you know what is so beautiful about that is that not only does it tie you more to God, back to those relational lines where you're to God, it ties you more to your child, because you're now literally fighting on the front lines of a spiritual battle. Because we can all agree that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he wants is to rob your child of their faith. He wants that more than anything else. But you want to know what? You as the parent have been given full jurisdiction and full authority to fight on behalf of your child for their faith and their spiritual growth.
Yeah, first of all, let's just, I can make this super practical for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says this: cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the first thing, when you see that fear coming up of, I'm fearful my child is not going to love God, take that fear and cast it upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. Literally just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm fearful. It's okay. You're not the first parent that's come to him fearful that your child's not going to know God.
Yeah.
In fact, and there's negative fears and there's healthy fears. Your fear is out of something good. You want the best for your child. And so God understands that. It's not like he doesn't get it. And so what you do is you just go, God, I'm fearful, but you tell me to cast all my anxieties on you because you care for me. And so I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to cast my cares upon you, and I'm going to depend on you. And then you flip that into belief.
Mm-hmm.
We cast our cares upon God, and then we start to believe that our child will know God. So, and Suzanne and I both say this all the time. We believe it very much, that when you believe that God acts on our faith, I mean, just
right.
Read the Gospels. How many times he says, Jesus couldn't act there because they didn't have enough faith. But then he did act in places where they did have faith.
Yeah.
So your faith, as you cast your cares upon Jesus and you start to believe more, you start to unlock things. That's where Suzanne's talking about. You have authority. You have dominion in your house. Your belief actually unlocks the faith journey for your child and your family.
Yeah. And as you're hanging out with the Lord, sharing with your fears with him, then ask him, okay, how do I respond to my child? How do I encourage my child in their faith? How do I take them along the path toward you? Because God knows exactly how your child is made. He knows our children's strengths and their weaknesses. He knows where the enemy's got a stronghold on them, and he's going to give you a very specific pathway. You know, this child needs, you know, experiences. This child needs to go to church camp. You need to pray for and fight for, because the enemy's got, this child needs quality time to have deep conversations. One of our children, Maddox, he was fleshing out his faith in middle school, and he was asking all these hard questions. He needed conversations.
Lots of conversations.
Yes, it was beautiful. He needed us to
be. He still does.
Yeah, he needed us to be a safe place for him to flesh out, and he needed to be able to say, is God real? I mean, and for us not to freak out and say, oh my gosh, yes, God's real. Why would you think that? Oh my gosh, what makes you think God's not real? I mean, he didn't need that from us at all. He needed us to turn right around and say, What do you think?
Yeah.
What? How is God real to you? Has God shown up real in your life? You know, how do you hear God's voice? Have you heard God's voice? And I remember, oh my goodness, so clearly, Molly was over at our house and Maddox was asking these questions. And after we had...
Molly's our oldest child.
Yes. And after and she's what, 10, 15 years older than mm-hmm. Maddox? 17. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, something like 15 years. She, after we had, you know, closed the conversation down for that night and Maddox had gone upstairs, Molly goes, Mom, how are you... Dad, how are y'all not afraid mm-hmm. that he's going to walk away from the faith? And it was such a good line in the sand for us to realize we are not afraid for him. I mean, we might have fear, but we're not afraid for him because, and this parents, I want you to just take and put it in your pocket, because God wants your children to love him more than you do. Mm-hmm. He sent them to this earth to have a relationship with him, to bring his kingdom to earth. He has got a plan and a purpose for them, and he wants that more than anything. And so when we as parents believe that and see that and partner with God that, oh, he wants my kid, then we can, with faith, let the child walk up the stairs and ponder his thoughts as we try to deposit acceptance and truth and love sparingly so he could wrestle with his faith.
Well, and I think that I'd like to go down another path with that too, is where do you channel your fears? We tell parents, and we get a little bit of pushback on this sometimes because, but let us explain it. It's okay to sell Jesus to your kids, you know, and in fact, you know, I use the analogy a lot.
Wait, I have to interrupt you and say, not only is it okay, but we must. Well, we have to sell Jesus to our kids. Okay, tag
and,
you're
and
back
I'm
in.
I'm getting to that because what I was going to say is that, you know, we use the analogy of parenting, running a family is like running a small business. And we tend to focus on operations a lot because we focus on where we're going, what we're doing, but the income part, the sales part of it is following faith and really tapping into Jesus. And so much we don't focus on sales, but in reality, a company can't function without sales. And so if your kids aren't following the Lord, and it really does make a breakdown in the company so much. And so revenue is key. Revenue sales is key. And so, and that's exactly what Suzanne's saying, is that we must, and then what we break it down of them, it's not a forcing your child to believe. It's that you believe, if you're a Christian and you are following Jesus, you believe that is the best way of life. Why don't you promote that to your kids as the best way of life? It really is. That's what sales is. You know, the best salesmen are not the ones that are pushy and forcing it on. Nobody likes that pushy salesperson. But when somebody comes in and says, oh my goodness, we went to this restaurant and it was so amazing. It, you know, they had the best food and the service was awesome. You know, we want to take you there and show you this great restaurant. And yet we wouldn't do that about Jesus.
Right.
I'm going to say, look, man, Jesus loves you. I mean, he is the greatest. He loves you with all of his heart. And he wants the best for you. And he created you and all these things. Why wouldn't you follow Jesus? You know, the restaurant's amazing. It's got all the things. Yeah, you got to sacrifice. And yeah, you got to do these things. But look at the benefits of it. And we get to go to heaven. And God's taking care of us forever. That's what we're talking about when we talk. And out of my own life, this is where God's blessed right. me. And here's what I loved about Jesus. And today I read the scripture and it so warmed my heart and all those things. That's what we talk about when we talk about selling Jesus.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things that just kind of highlighted as you were talking, and I just want to bring clarification, and you explained it so beautifully, is a way of life. And by all means, we want to show a way of life because that's where God's blessing and God's favor is. But a lot of the times, parents just camp out in the way of life, and they go with the commandments, and they go with the law, the rules of religion and all of that stuff. And the way of life is part of it. The better part that's going to resonate with your child is the relationship part. And that's what you said at the back end. follow Jesus, do what Jesus did, be like, you know Jesus. And that's the part where, as parents, if we focus on the relationship part, if we show, to get practical, if we show our kids our relationship with Jesus, how we are dependent on him, how he leads the way, how we want to do what Jesus did, you know, then our kids are attracted to relationship. They want to have a relationship with us. And even they want to have a relationship with their siblings.
Even when they're teenagers.
Exactly. And I was about to say, even in those middle school ages, when they're acting like they don't want to have a relationship with us, they are really frustrated with the relationship they have with themselves. And so we are wired and designed for relationship. God created Adam and Eve in the very beginning to have a relationship with. We're wired for that. So if you as parents will invest in and show your children a loving, kind, unconditional relationship with Jesus, then they will be attracted to that. They will want that.
And I'm camping out in 1 Peter today. We have to realize that, and that the battle is against the enemy. So what happens a lot is we see our child doing things that are anti-God, whatever that is. And then we get mad at the child.
Oh, so good.
But then but when we see that child, what if we saw that the enemy was at work in their lives? You know, and the reason I'm in 1 Peter, it says that be alert and of sober mind. So as you're seeing your child, be alert to what the enemy says, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And you know, John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the fear that you have is wrapped up in, you know, from a heavenly, from a theological perspective, if you will, that there really is an enemy that has some power within the earth to do, to wreak havoc, to be the roaring lion, to be the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when you see your kid, that's not the devil.
Yeah.
The devil is influencing
them. Sometimes they might act like it, and they might act like the roaring lion. I started giggling as you were saying that, but I agree to see the difference that they are being.
They're being attacked.
Yes.
They're being manipulated. They're
manipulated,
being
manipulated. Yes.
And so then you pray that. And so what that does is it what it should do. I got to go to my knees. I got to fight in the spiritual realm for the spiritual health of my child. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as we, you know, as we advise you on what to do with this is leaving space for the relationship, casting your cares upon the Lord, praying. Do you see the kind of the way of life that we're doing? And it starts when they're three. Mm-hmm. It starts with, you know, when my grandkids come over, we're watching storybook, whatever that thing is, that we watch the Bible stories. And, you know, our kids, we sat down and read them Bible stories, you know, over and over again, you know, so they knew what was going on. And then as they got older, we shared our hearts with them. You know, here's what God's doing. It's about relationship. It's about prayer. It's about connection. It's about leaving space for them to, and not being fearful. You know, we want to just release you from the fear. And also just to, the last things I want to say is really just never give up. Never give up on your kid, because I've just seen it happen over and I was just talking to a dad the other day. You know, his kids were like 17 or whatever when he had a big change in his heart. And so he, you know, spent the next 2 or 3 years really pursuing his kid at a different level. His kid knows the Lord now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter wherever you are, whatever's happening.
Right.
Never, ever give up. And you can always do things like we're talking about. If you haven't done them in the past, start doing them in the future, because they will work and they'll will help you to have a child that has the best chance at following Jesus.
I love this. Okay, so let's wrap this up, but we want to leave you with, we at Crazy Cool Family, Don created the most, and I alluded to it at the beginning, the most incredible.
We teased it, and then we just kind of left it hanging.
And so the most incredible acronym that I feel like that the Lord just dropped into his lap to how to practically help parents present faith.
I just think there's five things that we talk about that you should. Everything in relationships is long-term. So you're doing these things over and over again. And so, and we just put it in an acronym that we further, And some people know and some people don't know. We just came out. We've always had Basecamp that has a video series, but we just came out with two new guides. And this is very well done in our guides that we just came out. So as you want to further explore where we're going and how you can help this, so to take this deeper.
Right.
So you will go to... You will go to, on Amazon, we have it's called Building Family Relationships. If you put in the search of Amazon, Don and Suzanne Manning, you're going to see, and in that family relationship guide, there is a session on building the kid to God relationship. And that's where this acronym is. And you can find more about it and expand it. And then that, that session also goes into a Basecamp course that will tell you all about it. So now, what's the acronym?
Yeah, okay, good. Exactly. I was about to say, let's not tell them the acronym and just really frustrate them. But no, exactly. We will tell you the acronym.
Well, the acronym is ALIVE, A-L-I-V-E. And, you know, if you, how do you make God come alive to your kids? And there's really just, A is ask, that we pray. We ask God for the faith of our kids. L is to live. We talk about example being more important than your instruction. And then
L's listen.
No, L is live. You can go back and look at the book, dear.
Oh, okay, because she's got it as listen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, so
you know, Don did create it.
Nobody on the team knows what we're talking about. But so L is live. Our example is more important than our instruction. I is to impress, that we want to impress God's word into their hearts. V is to validate. Validation comes when we respond well to questions. And the E is for experiences. We create spiritual experiences to where we, to help further the faith, to offset the world experiences. So ALIVE, there are five things. You know, we can't go into them all today, but they are just, that is a great tool to take with you. Available in the Building Family Relationships and going further into the, if you're in the Basecamp course, whole course on it, and will really help you have some practical handles to take what we're saying even further.
Yeah. And so just know that we love you guys. We know that this battle for your kids to know God is worth it. The most powerful battle that you can fight here on this side of heaven for your kids. And so we just join you in prayer for your kids and their relationship with Jesus.
Yep. And it's going to happen. You know, we just believe it. I this is a game that every parent can win. And we believe that you have authority to go help give your child the best chance to have a life in the kingdom. So in the meantime, go be crazy and go check out our new guides. We think you'll really like them. They're literally just very interactive, and I think you'll really like them. Available on Amazon. And in the meantime, go be crazy, crazycoolfamily.com.